Good morning, Bethel U. I'm Brother Carl, very privileged to be back here. How many of you were here a couple of weeks back when I was sharing? All right, you actually returned. I'm impressed. So I'm here to talk about fasting today. Just a little intro if you weren't here a couple of weeks back. I'm very honored to be invited by Pastor Laurel and Pastor Donna and the team. And I actually wear two hats. I'm an evangelist, and I get the privilege of traveling in the nations. Last year, I was in seven nations. I started my work for the Lord in the southern part of Australia, in Melbourne. And at the end of the year, I finished in the north of Finland. So I began in the southern hemisphere and ended all the way in the tip of the north, sharing with about 30 on-fire Finnish YWAMers about discipleship. So that's kind of fun. I also am a wedding videographer, cinematographer. We run a company called Princess Bride Cinematic Video. If any of you are available Sunday, I will have a booth at the bridal fair at the convention center. So come down. I figure if you come down, what we can do is we'll have a secret plan. We'll talk about Jesus really super loud, and all the brides coming by, like, huh? What's that? So it's kind of fun. And as I shared before, if our company is Princess Bride, so if you see me teaching on a future time here at Bethel and you walk up to me, I will not be offended in the least if you walk up to me and you say, marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Should I keep going? No. So 36 years ago this spring, a young Bethel College student here, sophomore, was in chapel and she was listening to the teaching and she was encouraged to share her faith outside the realms of Bethel. So she happened to be nannying that weekend with a young family. The parents were away and she was nannying for a 10-year-old girl, 8-year-old boy, and she went to their house. And that night, she shared her faith with those two young children. She was a little expressive in the current Baptist theology of the day that the rapture was imminent. So she said, basically, in 1979, we'll be raptured, so you'd better accept Christ. So I remember the story because the young boy and the girl, they knelt by the bedside with this Bethel student. And the young boy especially prayed very earnestly to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that young boy had bright red hair. That was me. So in a wonderful way, I am forever connected to this university. And I thank this university in a special way for leading to my own personal salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning we're looking at fasting. And I want to share with you two great themes from the Word, from both the Old Testament and New Testament, about the spiritual discipline of fasting and how important it is that you develop a lifestyle of it. The first theme I'm going to talk about is fasting to be heard on high and to walk in a daily presence, anointing, or love of the Father. That's kind of all in one. So it's to be heard on high and to walk in a daily understanding of the love of the Father. And secondly, I'm going to share with you how fasting is very important, in fact, vital to train you as a soldier of Jesus Christ to discipline your bodies and to bring you, basically to bring your spirit into alignment with the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Now, I checked the Bethel U website last evening just to make sure, and sure enough, in the doctrinal statement of Bethel, we have this phrase, empowering of the Spirit. So I'm okay. I checked it. So the first theme is this, to be heard on high and to develop a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at Ezra and Isaiah, first of all. These two passages are probably the two most famous passages on the spiritual discipline of fasting that we have in the Word. From Ezra we read, so we fasted, this is the people of God, and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty. Listen, fasting brings a sense of you taking a stance as a warrior that you're getting serious with God. So fasting is important because when you fast, the Lord takes notice. Now, it isn't that he isn't taking notice to your prayers at other times. But you have to understand, when you open your mouth to pray or you set your body to fast, You are entering into a struggle. You are entering into what you've learned in chapel this past winter of something of the spiritual war. That there are spiritual forces opposing God, opposing Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit right now, and those spiritual forces know your Facebook password, they know your cell phone number, they know your bank account, they know your relationships, they know your past, they know your potential future, and they are scared of you, so they are setting in force opposition to your call of God. So when you enter into fasting, you are entreating the Lord. Actually, in the Hebrew, that says he not only listened to them, he was entreated to his people when they took this position of becoming low and disciplining their bodies and fasting. That's the power of it. So if you want to be heard from on high, if you want to know that your prayers are being answered, then fast. Because as you fast, the Lord will take special notice for you. And he'll speak to you. The Father speaks, the Son speaks, the Spirit speaks, they all speak. A few years back, I was watching this show, The Apprentice. Anybody heard of it? Donald Trump? Yeah. And in the second season, I had this dream, and the Lord spoke to me in the dream and said, Carl, I want you to apply for The Apprentice. I was like, okay. There's like a million people applying for this show. He's like, that's okay, you apply. So I did this little video, I dressed in my tuxedo, and I took my video camera, and I said, I'm a wedding video entrepreneur, and I want to apply. And the casting directors interviewed me with a personal one-on-one kind of camera thing in Minneapolis, then Chicago, then Kansas City, and finally they flew me to L.A. for the finals. So Brother Carl here got to go to L.A. in a beautiful hotel room, and I got fed for a week. And they do all these psychological tests on you. And this one day, there was this test of 500 questions. And it's a time test. And they ask you all these things. One of the questions is, I hear voices, true or false? I said, true. Then another question was, sometimes when I'm alone and in the dark, voices speak to me, true. And then when the lead psychologist for Donald Trump met with me one-on-one, he had this whole graph, and he had my whole personality completely figured out. It was perfectly in tune, except this one spot of the graph shot straight up in the air and way down. The up in the air part was you are certifiably nuts. And he said, I don't understand this. I said, well, I hear voices. He said, really? I said, yes, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speak to me every day. Well, there were 800,000 applicants. I was in the final 18. I didn't get cast. That's okay. Listen, you will hear voices. You will hear the voice of the Lord when you entreat him. The second one is from Isaiah 58. Then I put there after fasting, because in verse 6, God speaks and says, is this not the fast that I choose? Don't you want to enter into a fast that the Father is choosing for you? So this is your heart response. When you enter into a fast for the glory of God, he is with you. And this is his promise. Your light will break out like the dawn. Your recovery will speedily spring forth. How many of you maybe want to fast for somebody who's sick? Because when you do, look at the promise. And your righteousness will go before you. And I love this portion. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. Isn't that what you desire? A deeper relationship with the Father where you know his love. You remember a few weeks ago I talked about the discipline of meditation on the word, and I share with you Joshua 1. And the promise always is followed by the discipline, which then brings the presence. So you can't get to the presence without going through the discipline. And the discipline this morning is fasting. So I want to share with you more on this idea that you can fast to be heard from on high, and the glory of the Lord will be a part of you, and you will speak, and he will say, here am I. What would you say to me today? And you pour out your heart, and he responds. So in 1821, there was a young man preparing for the ministry. His name was Charles Finney. This is about 57 years prior to the founding of Bethel University. So just to put that in context. Now, as he is preparing for the ministry, he is in this office area with a back room and a fire. And he had been praying and he had been fasting. He wanted more of God. He wanted something of the presence, the glory of the Lord. So as he was fasting and praying, it says he went into this back study, and as he shut the door, he says this: "As I turned and was about to take a seat by the fire, I received a mighty sense of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves of liquid love." Remember that phrase. It seemed to come in waves of liquid love. "For I could not express it in any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God. I can remember distinctly that it seemed to fan me like immense wings. No words can express the wonderful love that was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit that day." Now, I wanted to share that because I had a little bit of a similar experience. When I was 21, I was just starting to walk with God, and I knew that fasting was a key to unlocking intimacy with the Father. So I heard of this teaching through a Baptist. And he said that his mother used to go into the back room, and when she was really having a tough day, she would lock the door and just throw food at the kids, lock the door, and go in that room, and she'd pray, and he'd hear her pray and pray and pray, and the word was she would pray through. So I thought, oh, that's kind of cool, pray through. I thought to myself, what does that mean? I don't know, but it sounds great. Pray through. I'm going to pray through. So I grabbed my buddy Chad, and he was 21, and he had this apartment. And he had an upstairs apartment, and below him was this Roman Catholic couple, very devout Catholic couple. They lived underneath him, very elderly people. So I said, "Chad, let's pray through." He goes, "Absolutely." He had no idea what I was talking about. I said, "Chad, how about we fast first?" He said, "Yeah, come on, we'll fast." This is my first fast, okay? Now, when you first begin to fast, for the first 10 minutes, you are super Christian. Hamburger, I rebuke you. Pizza, pepperoni, be gone. French fries, get away from me. I am super Christian. The first 10 minutes, you are super Christian. 4 hours later, you're standing in the stance of prayer. A pain goes through your stomach. You are suddenly reduced to a ball of nothingness, pleading at the right hand of the Father for something to eat. "Please, Father! Could I just have a single French fry? Surely that wouldn't affect this relationship with you." Not even a full piece of pepperoni pizza, but just one pepperoni would be awesome. Surely that wouldn't be too much to ask of, Father. So we're fasting and we're praying. And Chad's got the music on. The worship's going forth. We got the music going. The Catholic couple is below us in their bedroom, listening to stomping on the floor. We're going 10 o'clock, 11 p.m. We pass the midnight hour. We're still praising. We're weak because we're fasting. About 1 o'clock in the morning, Brother Chad kneels down like this. He assumes the most holy position in all of Scripture. He bows low, you know, like Abraham bowed low before the presence of the Lord. So Chad is bowing low, and he's praying. And I'm watching him. I'm like, well, heck, I mean, that's the most holy position in all of Scripture. So if he's going to do it, I'm going to do it. Yeah, let's bow low. So I bow low. We're praying through whatever that means. We're going to pray through. I bow low. I'm praying. Chad is over in the most holy position. He's praying. Suddenly, I look over at him at 1:15 a.m., and here's what I hear. He's asleep in the most holy position. So I'm like, well, what the heck? I'm going to keep going. So I'm praying through till 1:30 a.m. At 1:30 a.m. as I'm praying through, the Holy Spirit, the power and the love of the Father literally fills the room, and puts me flat on my back, and I am stuck to the floor. I cannot move any of my body. The power of God is in the room. Just like Finney wrote about, the electricity was going through me like waves. I could not stop it. I was filled with the love of God. All of a sudden, I shout, "Whoo!" And Chad shoots up. And the Catholic couple shoot up. They're looking at the ceiling. What's going on up there? But the power of God had so filled me at that moment, I was full of Him. It was awesome. I felt the waves of liquid love. 2 weeks later, I decided to go on the streets because of the love I experienced, and I was sharing the gospel. I had my four spiritual laws, and there was an elderly black man sitting on the side of the road with right on the curb, and I knelt beside him, and I said, "Sir, could I share with you the love of God?" He said, "Yes." I walked him through my little pamphlet, and I said, "Could I pray with you right now?" He said, "You know what? Just this morning, I picked up a Bible that I hadn't picked up for years. It was my mother's Bible. I've never read it, but I read it this morning, and I read in John 3 and verse 16 about the love of Jesus for me this morning, and now you're coming and confirming this. Yes, I'll pray with you." So he prayed with me, and he started to weep. It was a beautiful moment. He received Christ. And I got up, and I started walking away, and the love of God compelled me and said, "Carl, go back there and pray for his leg." Okay. So back I go. I said, "Sir, would you mind if I prayed for you, for your leg?" Because his leg was healed. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well, I broke it 3 weeks ago. I can't afford medical coverage, and I can't work. I'm losing money." I said, "Would you mind if I prayed for you?" Now, I'm 21 years old. Never prayed for somebody sick before. He said, "Go ahead." I laid my hands on his leg, and I prayed something really super theologically correct like this. "Oh, Lord Jesus, I know you died for this man's leg." Bad theology. "But you love him, so heal him now." And I got in Jesus' name in there. Amen. And I finished off, and he starts testing, and he goes, "Hey, that feels pretty good." I said, "Does it? Well, stand up on it." So he stands up on it. He hits it 3 times. He goes, "Whoa, I'm healed by the power of God." And he ran down, and he ran away from me around the street. I never saw him again. Come on. There's a little revival service happening over here in this corner. That is the... You see, that started in fasting and went from fasting to waves of liquid love to the expression of the Father's love for me, and it led into miraculous kingdom salvation and healing. And all of that is accessible to you if you will fast. Now let me transition to my second point, which is very simply that fasting brings a discipline of your body. Fasting brings a disciplining of your body and an alignment of your spirit with the Holy Spirit. Listen, when Moses wanted to get serious with God, he went up upon the mountain. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He came down the mountain having been in complete alignment with God's purpose, and as he brought before them the law, he noticed they were in idolatry, and he smashed the law there, and 3,000 people were killed that day. But when Jesus did it, he took 40 days of his life. He went into the wilderness. He fasted. He sought the Father's love. He sought the Father's place. He, at the end of it, wrestled with Satan himself, and he released grace to the world. And then after his resurrection, he gave the power of the Spirit, the power of God to all of his disciples. They went into Jerusalem on that day, and 3,000 people were saved. That's the power of fasting. Now, Paul writes about fasting. He doesn't call it fasting. He talks about discipline of the body. The Old King James uses the word, "I buffet my body." We're going to look at the scripture in a minute. That word isn't used anymore, but I like that word in another context. I like the word buffet. In fact, if you're around my family, my kids at all, they'll tell you, whenever I go anywhere, that's Dad's favorite word, buffet, buffet. So Paul uses the word buffet. We don't have that word anymore, but let's look at 1 Corinthians 9 together, and let me share with you how Paul describes the idea of self-control, the idea of discipline through fasting. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. That's what fasting is. Let me just pause there for a minute. When you fast, it is very, very difficult. It is like death in you, but it yields life. When you choose to fast, it's like death in you, but it brings life. When you choose to sin or to lust, it is like life to you at the moment, but it brings death. And ultimately, it brings spiritual death, which ultimately brings death to your body. None of you here is going to make it out alive. You're all going to pay the ultimate price in letting this body, which is perishable, go down in the earth. When you sin, when you do not exercise self-control, you are yielding to the flesh. You're yielding to lust. It seems to be great at the time, but it yields afterwards separation from God and therefore death. But when you take the position that Paul writes about disciplining yourself, though it seems like death when you go through it, and believe me, it does. I fasted last week in preparation for today. It was hard. It is never easy to break through, but once you do, you come into a fuller expression of the love of God and experience Him in a way you've never known before. So, Paul writes this. He says, now, it takes self-control. He's talking about the athletes, isn't he? He says, they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way, not as one that's beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach the gospel, I myself not become disqualified. Listen, when you fast, you are disciplining your body. How you are supposed to live as a Christian warrior is the following. You're supposed to live out of your spirit with the Word of God growing and thriving in you and the power of the Spirit there, out of your spirit, through your soul, into your flesh. That is how a believer is supposed to live. That's the beauty of knowing Christ. You have received Him. The problem is most of the world lives the opposite way. They live through their flesh, their five senses, smell, touch, taste, all those things, through their soul, and sometimes reach their inner spirit. But you have received Christ, so you are to live with your spirit being strong. When you are strong in your spirit, you can tell your body, shut up. You're not my master. Jesus Christ is my master. Actually, body of Carl, you're my slave. So get under the influence of the cross of Jesus Christ. Shut your yapping about how great pepperoni pizza is, and I'm going to fast through until I get to God's presence. I'm going to hear His voice. He's going to respond to my prayers, and I'm going to walk in His glory. So that's why he writes about this in such a way, and he uses the athlete's language. Now, some of you here are athletes. You understand the athletic. You understand how much you train, like in the Winter Olympics we've just seen. Some of these guys are so well disciplined. They know what to do and what not to do. Listen, as a spiritual warrior, I want to tell you, through fasting, and not just a self-centered approach, God says the fast that I choose is the one that will bring forth a deeper intimacy with me, but also will break forth my kingdom. If you are fasting, you are advancing the kingdom. If you are not fasting, you are not walking in that kind of discipline to advance. Now, I get to travel all over and teach. I teach in a lot of Bible schools, and I get asked this question. Brother Carl, what's the most common fast in the Scripture? Wouldn't you like to know? So I want to just end with a couple of minutes on some practical teaching on fasting, and then we're going to have Pastor Laurel come up. Now, the most common fast in the Bible is not a 40-day. Some of you might want to start there, okay? You're going to shrivel up like about 80 pounds, walk around campus like, I am fasting before God. I only weigh 80 pounds. I've met people like this. They're weird. Anyway, don't start at a 40. The most common fast in Scripture is actually 3 days or less. So I'll put it to you this way. 95% of all biblical fasts are 3 days or less. If you want to do a 40, that's great. A 21 is great. 10 days, 7, whatever. But 3 or less. Now let me ask you this. Could you agree this morning, through hearing about the discipline of fasting, to say yes, that in this period of Lent that we're in now, these next 40 days or so, could you agree to dedicate one day in the next 40 to a fast? This is called the David fast, if you can remember this. David fasted often from sunset to sunset. So let me tell you how this works. If you're going to start a David fast, it's actually very, very simple. On the day you're going to start, you wake up, you eat breakfast, and you eat lunch, and then that's it for the day. So essentially, as you reach sunset or before, you're beginning your fast before God. You wake up the next morning, you do not eat breakfast or lunch. So you fast all the way through that next day until sunset or until dinner. Then you break it and you eat. Simple, right? 3 days. It's not going to be easy because you're going to get to the end of that first day and go to sleep hungry. But remember, you're fasting before God, not to lose weight. When you wake up the next morning, you're going to continue in it until dinner time that night, sundown to sundown, a 24-hour fast. If you would agree with me this morning to say yes to God in this period of time leading up to Easter called Lent, if you will simply say with me, Brother Carl, I am willing to pick one 24-hour period at the minimum. You can do three, you can do 10 days, you can do whatever you want. But I'm simply asking this morning for you to say, yes, Lord, I will commit to one full 24-hour day of fasting between now and Easter. If you will do that, please stand with me. I'm going to pray with you. If you will say yes, you're just saying, Lord, I'm going to give you one full day. I'm going to ignite my faith and advance the kingdom and seek you. I'm going to look to you, Lord, that you would listen to my prayers. I'm going to look to you, Lord, that I could walk in your presence. And I'm going to fast before you. All right? So this is awesome. Now, don't all do this on the same day because you'll shut the lunchroom down. Maybe that'd be cool, though, wouldn't it? I don't know. CBS Evening News this evening. The Bethel University has reached the news because everybody chose to fast on the same day. The lunch people didn't know what to do. But you're going to choose now one full day at the minimum. And you're going to get serious with God. When you fast and when you pray, you're entreating him. And believe me, he will listen to you. He will speak to you. So let me pray with you, and then Pastor Laurel is going to come up. So, Father, I thank you this morning for this rising generation of warriors that stand here at Bethel. I thank you, Lord, for their commitment to you. I thank you that they are saying yes today to a minimum of a 24-hour David fast where they will get serious with their walks, where they will cast off the flesh, put their body under, and where they will choose to seek you in a deeper way. I impart to them, Lord, strength to go through it. I impart courage. I speak forth the word of the Lord in their lives to grow. I speak forth their commitment to Jesus Christ to grow. And Lord, I declare over each of them now a deeper walk in this next 40 days and then well beyond into their lives with you. In Jesus' name, I bless you now. Amen. Thank you. Go for it.
Hey, friends, Brother Carl has written a pretty phenomenal book on spiritual disciplines. It's a book called A Voice of One Calling, and it's available online. You can give a $3 donation. Otherwise, you can download it. It's about 50 pages, and in this, it will give you a lot of information about the spiritual disciplines that we're laying before you and are laid forth in Scripture. Everything that we give you is biblically based. It has to be, because we want you to actually take not our word for it, but take the Lord's word for everything. And so A Voice of One Calling, a training manual for soldiers marching in the fields of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's an 8-day training course for establishing daily disciplines to equip you as you radically live committed to Jesus Christ. So if you are interested in this and more about Born to Blaze Ministries, please see us. The information is right up there, or you can also stop by the Office of Campus Ministries. But if you're interested, you can go to Born to Blaze now. You can take out your phones. You can identify this and plug that in so that if you want to lay that out, you can do so. So thank you, everyone, for your commitment to go deeper in the things of God. I will be up here with you on Wednesday preaching about the discipline of worship. And then we will be well on our way to spring break. And I hope some of you are excited about spring break. For those of you who will be sleeping, God bless you. And for those of you who will be ministering somewhere around the country, bless you. And those of you who will be ministering on a beach somewhere, bless you too. So we love you. We are excited about all that you are. So please stand with us as we dismiss you. I know many of you are pressing in and you are exhausted. So if you just need prayer as well for encouragement, for energy, because you're feeling exhausted, please let us know. Come forth and let us just touch you, pray with you for increased energy and stamina as you're rounding the corner. We are really close to ending this year, so we are praying for you and with you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you as your children that we are learning to grow deeper in you, walk more deeply with you, and that all of the chains, all of the things that we have believed, the things that we have not known about you are being broken, Lord God, so that the true reality of who you are according to your word, according to the scriptures, might come to us. Lord, we thank you for the discipline of fasting. And we thank you, Lord, that we will also press past the flesh's desire to say that this will not yield breakthrough. For we know that fasting does yield and bring forth a breakthrough. Lord, I know that before me and many who are not before us right now are desperate to hear your voice and to know your voice, to go beyond simply experiencing something emotionally to having a deep revelation of you in their spirit. So as we go from this place, Lord God, as we go from this chapel, may you follow, may you rest, rule, and abide in and on and through each one of us. And may we hunger and thirst for an experience which is real, which is radical, and which is transformational. For we, Lord God, desire not only to be transformed, but to transform the world that is around us for Jesus Christ. We thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.